If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Just want to check, see if, how everybody is feeling about the thoughts of Matt Barkley being your quarterback going forward. Anyone? Anyone? Matt Barkley? Bill starting quarterback going forward? Anyone? Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought. Hey, how is everybody doing? Welcome into the Overreaction Sports Podcast. This is an Overreaction Sunday. I am your host, Joe Miller. And you can find me, as always, on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. That handle again, at Joe Miller Wired. It's good to have all you guys listening to me wherever this podcast finds you, whether it's in the car, around a cup of coffee, on your phone, at work on the laptop, wherever it is, wherever it finds you on a set of headphones as you're working out. I appreciate it. Don't think for one second that I don't appreciate everybody who tunes in and listens to me. What a game that was today. And by that, I mean it wasn't much of a game. I tell you what, we were there. Today was my daughter McKenna's 13th birthday, and she had made plans probably 3 months ago, 2 months ago, with her birthday being on December 29th. Her plans for her birthday were to, after church, go to brunch. We are a church-going family. Not crazy church, like two-and-a-half-hour church services, just an hour and 15 minutes, nothing major. And then go to brunch, and then go to the Bills game, because the football game was on her birthday. And she actually, the original intention was for my father to take her. Because what most of you don't know is Joe Miller Jr., who is my dad. I am Joe Miller III. His birthday is also on December 29th. So my father and my daughter, my firstborn, share a birthday. So her original intention was for my father to take her to the Bills game, and then we would go see Star Wars. But my father is in Florida, so he just retired this past summer, I think in August, and he is now in, well, I shouldn't say he is now in Florida, but him and my stepmother are in Florida for a couple weeks, just basically for Christmas, for the holiday, so he was unable to take her, so I got to go sit through that crazy game. What a game it was, and if you hear noise in the background, I'm watching the Sunday night game currently. This is the last Sunday night game of the year, so I didn't want to go up into the office. The world headquarters of the Overreaction Sports Podcast. I didn't want to go up into the guest room that doubles as an office and miss the last Sunday night football game. But what a game that was today. My guess is the majority of you watched it on TV. And if you watched it on TV, good for you. Because my takeaways are as such. So it was 42 degrees. I had great hope. I had great hope going into this game. Around Wednesday or Thursday, that it was going to be 50 degrees, 51, no rain, and that it was going to rain. If it was going to rain, it was supposed to rain later in the day, is what everybody said. And I was like, holy crap, dude, like, we're going to get a December 29th home football game at New Era Field in Buffalo, late December. And, like, it's going to be, like, hoodie weather. Like, for real? And then as I was checking the weather last night, 100% chance of rain, 1 o'clock. 100% chance of rain, 2 o'clock. 100% chance of rain, 3 o'clock. Weather temperature was dropping. I think it ended up being about 45 degrees. And it was strange because, a second ago I said it was strange, and it was strange because of this. So it was literally 45 degrees, but there was no wind. So this game was, it was actually warm up until about the end of the third quarter when the wind finally started to pick up a little bit. It wasn't windy, but it was enough wind that after it had rained on us and we were soaked to the bone, that little bit of rain, or I'm sure, sorry, that little bit of wind, coupled with both offenses refusing to do anything with the football. So you've got both. I think the start of the fourth quarter, the first half of the fourth quarter was the longest half of a quarter I think I've ever experienced in my entire life, because all I wanted was for the game to be over. Between our destiny being set, between the game not mattering, between nobody that I cared about really playing in the football game, and then you wrap all that up inside of just the rain, the weather, and I just wanted to leave, right? I wanted to get out of the stadium. And what do they do? So the Jets and the Bills are both, every possession in the first half of the fourth quarter, are dropping back and throwing the ball and throwing incompletions on their, like, on every pass attempt. So basically every set of downs, three and outs, is taking like 56 seconds. So that just prolonged the agony of what was just not a great weather game. It was great. I'll be honest with you. I'm a redhead. Ginger, I am. I'm not a big fan of the sun. I'm going to Mexico in February. I'm going to Cabo. My family loves Mexico. We're going on vacation. But I'm not a fan of the sun. I prefer 50, 60 degrees and rain. So the first half of that game, actually, with the rain, was great for me. But then after, the rain literally subsided a little bit, and then the rain kind of picked, or the wind picked up, and it just got blah. But I've got some observations for you tonight. I don't know what you guys, I didn't get much response tonight from the overreaction call out, just to see where you guys were, where your heads were at. It was interesting. My observations, my takeaways were interesting. There was a lot of angry fans at the game. A lot of angry fans. People, you know, yelling "you suck" at the field, same old Bills, what are you doing? Just a lot of weird stuff. Like, it was just strange. One of my biggest observations, takeaways from that game, was watching Adam Gase on the sideline. And it's like, well, Joe, why are you talking to us about Adam Gase? Listen to me. Adam Gase was very engaged and very head coachy. Is that a word, head coachy? Very head coachy every time the offense had the ball. Very engaged. He would stand in front of the line of scrimmage. He'd stand behind the line of scrimmage so he could get, you know, a view of the defense and the offense from the backside. He'd get a view of the defense and the offense from the front side. Clearly had all of his paperwork, had minions around him as he's handing stuff off, and they're handing him papers and whatnot. And this is where it got weird. Whenever they were on defense, Adam Gase was like a row of people, players or two, behind everybody, behind the sideline, almost not paying attention to what was going on in the football game. He'd stand there sometimes looking up, hands behind his back, off to the side, nobody really around him, not paying a ton of attention. It was just a really, really weird observation. Like, I'm watching this guy, and like, normally you see Sean McDermott, you see, you know, Pete Carroll. I'm watching Pete Carroll right now, and you know, and Shanahan and all these guys, every head coach you see is heavily invested, heavily involved, you know, Belichick, in, you know, every aspect of the football game, what's going on during the game, right? Whether if they're a defensive-minded coach, if the defense is on the field, they're heavily invested, and if the offense is on the field, they're heavily invested. If they're an offensive-minded coach, when the offense is on the field, they're heavily invested. When the defense is on the field, they're heavily invested. Not Adam Gase. Literally standing there when the defense was on the field, like, meh, I don't care. Just strange. So that and a nickel will get you on a bus somewhere. The only good news coming out of it yet today, as far as Adam Gase goes, is the Jets apparently, as per Manish Mehta, have decided that they're going to retain him and keep him around. So my one and done post on Twitter was wrong. The Jets are going to bring him back. I don't think he makes half a year. I think he's done halfway through the year. That whole game was just strange. Not only from the Bills, but from the Jets. There were several times when I asked myself, and I elbowed my daughter next to me, and I said, "Is Le'Veon Bell done for the day?" Like, I don't understand the running back rotation. Like, Le'Veon Bell's a workhorse. Meanwhile, they're like trading off series, like him and Bilal Powell. The whole thing was just strange. The game plan on both sides were strange. The whole thing was just weird. It just had a weird feel. The game didn't matter. Guys were coming out of the game. Like, there was the whole, in the first half, you know, the call, or no, I think it might have been the second half, call the timeout, you know, to do the send-off for Lorenzo, which was nice for Zoe. But it was, nobody was expecting it. Like, when it happened with, you know, with Kyle Williams, we were expecting it. Like, there was an anticipation. We knew it was coming. And then with Zoe, like, oh, timeout. Everybody's like, why are they calling a timeout now? And then all they did was take Zoe off the field. And, like, it was just strange. The game plan was weird. Our game plan was weird. So, it was just a strange game. And I don't have a whole lot of notes. I don't have a whole lot to talk about tonight. So this is probably going to be one of the shorter podcasts, not only of my history, but probably one of the shorter ones you're going to listen to this week. I'll have a lot to say on Friday with the expectation of what's going to happen in Houston. But what are you overreacting to? Like I said, there's a lot of fans around me that were very much overreacting to this game. A lot of people upset. As I started the show, kind of quippy, sarcastically, is there anybody out there calling for Matt Barkley now? Is there anybody out there? I mean, there were some amazing troll level tweets that were not real. Just as, you know, if Matt Barkley comes in and, like, you know, rolls across the Jets and throws five touchdowns, you know, do we have a quarterback controversy? Does he start against Houston? And as much as that was a troll and it was funny, Bills Mafia member trolling other Bills Mafia members. Make no mistake, there are people out there that believe that Matt Barkley should be quarterbacking this football team. Anybody left? Because what Matt Barkley put on film yesterday was not good. Or yesterday, today was not good. And I don't know where I'm sitting with Dable. It's funny to me, and this is off the cuff. It's funny to me the kickback that we get about Brian Dable. So the Bills' offense looks atrocious, and fire Dable. Then the Bills' offense has one successful drive where they score a touchdown, and all of the quote-unquote experts come out, Twitter experts, and they're like, oh, do you want to fire Dable now? And going back to the conversation in the Patriots game that I had with Adrian Waddle, well, what changed, right? And his response was, well, they executed. So the Brian Dable's calls were fine. Brian Dable's doing his job. The designs were good. The difference was the players weren't executing the game plan or weren't executing the plays. Fast forward to this week, the game plan looked similar. There were far more screen passes, which was fun and nice to see. TJ Yeldon runs a great screenplay. But the offense was still just lethargic, stuttery, lack of flow, no rhythm, no reason or rhyme to what seemed to be going on with the game plan. The play calls looked exactly the same as they do with Josh Allen. Matt Barkley's throwing interceptions, missing guys real bad. Robert Foster's running down the field towards the tunnel end zone, darting down the field like on a line 25 yards downfield, and the like never turns around for the ball. The ball like lands at his feet, and he's still running. Like never had no intention of ever looking for the football. Matt Barkley just had a bunch of bad throws. But what's funny to me, getting back to the Dable thing, is the offense looked the same. This offense looked the same with Josh Allen and all of our starters as it does or did today with Matt Barkley and all of our non-starters. And where I'm going with all this is, yet there were tweets coming out today talking about how these guys just aren't good enough. It's obvious Matt Barkley might not be a good enough backup quarterback. Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not the backup quarterback. And I don't know. I mean, clearly they're not executing, right? But why is it Josh Allen and all the starters have the same problem executing the game plan or the plays that are being called or the schemes that Matt Barkley and all the non-starters seem to have? They're both having trouble. Josh Allen, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Dawson Knox, Devin Singletary, starting five offensive linemen, all having trouble executing the game plan, finding a rhythm, finding flow, having trouble executing the plays that are called. And then you take Matt Barkley, Duke Williams, Robert Foster, right, Isaiah McKenzie, a patchwork offensive line with a center that should not have been playing football today. I've never seen so many like messed up snaps, whether it was in shotgun or like in the center to quarterback exchange mess up. Matt Barkley in there. Why are they having the same exact trouble executing, finding rhythm, finding flow? Why do our starters have the same, look the same and have the same problems as our backups? But the problem is not the offensive coordinator. I need help with this one. I'm not saying that Dable's bad. I don't know. Because clearly there's moments of genius. I just don't know. I don't know what I'm watching. But my eyes tell me that the problem isn't Josh Allen and the starters, and the problem might not be Matt Barkley and the non-starters. The problem, if both of those two subsets look exactly the same, the problem seems to me that it's the person pulling the strings, right? I mean, I'm not great at being Captain Obvious, but this is like a Captain Obvious moment. I mean, deductive reasoning would tell you that if you've got this subset and that subset and their outcomes are the same, then clearly it's not the subset's problem. It's whoever is controlling things, right? I don't know. Just another observation. Here's an observation for you. I think I tweeted this to somebody. If you like Duke Williams, go ahead and like Duke Williams. Stop letting people determine for you whether or not Duke Williams is good or not and whether or not you should like him or not. If you like Duke Williams, and I like Duke Williams, like him. It's okay. And don't listen to other people tell you that there's a reason he's not on the football field or there's a reason that he's not starting or there's a reason that he's on the practice or was on the practice squad and there's a reason that Robert Foster's starting ahead of him. Let me tell you something. Isaiah McKenzie and Robert Foster are not better wide receivers than Duke Williams. And if you want to like him. Because he's fun to root for. All right? Can we just say it? I'm not one to get caught up in this underdog mentality thing that we have going on here in Buffalo. In fact, I hate it. I've talked about it on this show. The people that loved John DeGiorgio and people like that, Coy Wire, guys that really had no business being in this league, and like, you know, us Bills fans are all about it. But Duke Williams is a little bit of a different story. He brings a unique skill set to this offense that nobody else has on this roster. And this is one of those situations where unique is a good thing. Unique is a good thing in this case. And I'm just sick and tired of people being on Twitter telling us who we should like and why we should like somebody or not like somebody. And I'll be honest with you, if you like Duke Williams, root for the kid. Because for me, I think he should be playing. I think this is a better football team. I think this is a better football team with John Brown on the outside, Cole Beasley in the slot, and Duke Williams on the other side. I don't care about special teams because, frankly, our special teams ain't that great. So if you're telling me that Robert Foster is starting over Duke Williams, well, then coach up somebody else to do Robert Foster's job because Robert Foster is pointless on this football team. But this is a better offense with John Brown on one side, Cole Beasley in the slot, Duke Williams on the other side. He poses matchup nightmares. He makes contested catches. And yes, he dropped a couple balls today, but you know what? John Brown's dropped a couple balls. Cole Beasley's dropped a couple balls. Last time I checked, or last time I heard, the Bills still are leading the league in drop ball percentage. Dropped ball percentage, not inaccurate throw percentage. Dropped ball, meaning balls that should have been caught. So I'm here to tell you, if you want to like Duke Williams, like him. And stop letting people tell you you shouldn't like Duke Williams. Because I like Duke Williams, and I think he should be playing. He came out on the field, had a great game, played a second game, got hurt, found the pine, never came back. At the end of the day, if the offense is too complicated for him, or if he doesn't know what he needs to know, or he's not ready, I saw that today too, Duke Williams clearly isn't ready yet, well then give him routes and concepts that will work for him. Don't force the scheme on him, scheme to him. Because the kid can catch. And he's a little bit of a spark plug when he's out there. So all that to say this. If I'm overreacting to anything, that's probably what... Actually, this might be just a list of overreactions tonight. I'm overreacting about Gase. I'm overreacting about Dable. I'm overreacting about Duke Williams. If you like Duke Williams, like Duke Williams. Stop letting people tell you not to like him. You have my permission. This Jets team is bad. Take a moment and appreciate how bad this New York Jets team is. There weren't big... If you were watching it on TV, the announcers were probably talking about when certain guys were coming out. Every time I looked up, a different player was off the team or off the field. Whether it was Tremaine Edmonds, was done for the day, Poyer, done for the day, Micah Hyde, done for the day, whoever it was on defense. The only starters that stayed in the game rotating was the defensive line on the defense. I don't remember when I looked up in the second quarter. At some point in time, like the whole entire backfield was a bunch of numbers I didn't know. And McKenna, my daughter's like, who's that guy? I'm like, I have no idea. And it was raining. It was pouring at that point, so I wasn't about to get in my pocket and pull my program out. Like, it just wasn't happening. I was like underneath a, if I had had an umbrella, I would have used it, but I was underneath a poncho, and all my arms and extremities were tucked inside that poncho, and I was trying to stay as dry as possible, which didn't work. But this Jets team is bad. This Jets team scored 13 points. What was the final score, 13-6? Where's it at? 13-6. 13-6 against a nothing offense that we had. Every start, every skill position, weapon we had sat. Duke Williams put 108 yards on him. Tommy Sweeney, who's ridden the pine and been a scratch since like week three or four, put 76 yards on him. T.J. Yeldon had 24 yards receiving. This offense, it was basically just pieced together. They had a hard time. If this offense is scoring 6 points against what is supposed to be a quote-unquote good Jets defense, we need to have a conversation about it because that Jets defense is supposed to be good. And I'm not saying that the Bills had their way, but they had their moments. And I think with better play calling, they may have actually, an execution, actually had a better day than they did. But let's talk about this Jets offense. Horrible. They were playing against a muddled together ragtag defense. Like, the Bills could have gone into that game with half their defense hurt, and they probably would have come out of it just fine. If Josh Allen plays that game with John Brown, Cole Beasley, Dawson Knox, and all the guys, Devin Singletary, we win that game, like, handily. The Jets offense was awful. The Jets team, that team is just bad. That's a bad football team. And they've got Le'Veon Bell on that team. I wasn't impressed with Sam Darnold. Were you impressed with Sam Darnold? Oh, and then Gase comes out afterwards and says the reason that they had such a hard time was because of the weather. It barely rained in the second half. Freaking Matt Barkley threw for 232 yards with no weapons. What did Darnold have? Sam Darnold threw for 199 yards. Woo! His completion percentage was a little bit better than Matt Barkley's. Had less interceptions, too. Le'Veon Bell, 16 for 41, 16 carries for 41 yards. Eesh, 2.6 yards per carry. Good Lord. That Jets seems just bad. Thank God they're in the AFC East, and thank God Adam Gase is coming back next year. Right? Thank God. Let's talk about the fans. Can we just talk about expectations just for a minute? I went into this football game not looking forward to it because of the weather. Sorry, I just bumped my microphone. Not looking forward to it because of the weather. I was very much looking forward to spending the day with my daughter. Very much looking forward to having a relaxed day where we could watch some guys play, maybe watch some guys grow. I had no expectations that the Bills were going to win. I expected them to execute some plays on offense. I thought Matt Barkley would come in and have some success. But what were your guys' expectations? I mean, I saw the majority of people on Twitter that were pretty much right, and the responses that I got to my post-game tweet of how's everybody feeling was pretty much the same. Man, the game didn't mean anything. Let's get ready for Houston. That's where I was. I went into it looking to enjoy the game. And there were some fans behind me, and I sit in a season ticket holder section that were just a little bit off the rocker. Now, I'm not saying that they were their season ticket holders. There was a lot of people that gave their tickets away or didn't show up or probably sold them. But I don't know what people were expecting from that football game. It would have been, like, for me, it would have been a joke if the Bills won that game. A joke meaning the Jets being a joke. But there were some legit angry people in the stands. Angry. It was weird. So, yeah, people, I don't know. I'm not saying they were booing, but there were a couple moments where people felt like they were supposed to be booing. It was just bad. I think they did boo a couple times, but I think one was on when they wanted them to go for it, and they didn't go for it. But I don't know. I digress. But that's pretty much all the observations, all the overreactions that I have for you tonight. You know, the reality is for me, this game meant nothing. I'm really excited about this Texans game. I think we match up well. We'll talk about it on Friday. It is my sincere hope and plan, and what we will talk about on Friday, my plan to talk about it is my sincere hope that the Bills find some way to get some offensive production from these guys. They have the ability. They have the talent. They have plans, and they have plays that work. They don't call them. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bills come up with. And like I said, we'll talk about that a little bit on Friday, kind of like a preview into the playoffs and kind of an expectation for the playoffs. And, you know, it's on like Donkey Kong now, right? So we came into this season. My expectation was the Bills were going to be 9-7. So I'm elated at 10-6. It would have been a magical year at 11-5. And yes, just so you know, I am ignoring completely the Patriots losing to the Dolphins and what that could have meant for us. Meaning we could have been the AFC East champions. The problem is I still think we would have been playing this next weekend, even if we were AFC champs. We more than likely would not have gotten the bye. I don't think. I have not checked the standings. But I don't think 12-4 gets us there. Maybe it does. But I'm purposefully not talking about that. But I do want to talk on Friday just about this game that's coming up. I think it's on Saturday. I haven't seen yet when we're playing. I know who we're playing, but I don't know when. But it's going to be a great week. It's going to be a fun week. It's going to be a lot of expectation, a lot of anticipation. I'm going to be more nervous for this football. It's funny because, like, and I'm going to press on this on Friday, on the Friday show. Like, it's interesting to go from 2 years ago when we went to the playoffs, you know, on a whim because the Bengals beat the Ravens on the last play of the game, and like we snuck in and there was no expectation. It's like, who cares? We're in the playoffs. It doesn't even matter if we win or lose. We're here, baby. Like, now I have expectation. Now I'm like, we're here and we have a beatable team. Let's go. But it's been a magical season, and it's not over yet. This has been an incredible season. We've seen a lot. We've had a lot to cheer for. We've got a lot of things to be excited for going into next season. It's going to be a great off season. A lot of podcasts out there. I don't know if I'm going to continue this one or not. You know, I don't know how well it, I don't know what to expect. I don't know if my 40 to 50 listens for every episode is good. I don't know what the other people get. I'm sure that some of the big dogs out there get a lot. I don't know what some of the other guys get. So I don't know if I should expect more. I don't know if I should keep on keeping on. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm enjoying doing this. Maybe I'll change the format a little bit. Maybe I get a co-host. I'll figure something out. But it's been fun. This has been a lot of fun for me, and I don't want you, if you are a listener of mine and somebody who has been listening to me and been with me since the beginning, I don't want you to think for one second that I don't appreciate you and appreciate you listening to me. Thank you so much. If you are a friend of the show, and there's several of you, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. But we're gonna talk on Friday. And I'll get some tweets out there and see kind of how everybody's feeling going into this week, going into this next weekend. A new year is upon us. The Christmas season is over. Staring down the barrel of 2020. Staring down the barrel of the playoffs. Steve Tasker said it today when he did the lead the charge thing. He said, "Where would you rather be than right back in the playoffs?" Man, it felt good. It was electric when he did it. It was electric in that stadium. It's already a playoff atmosphere. We feel it. We know it. This fan base understands it. It's educated. We're smart. We're not a bunch of rich, socialite, casual guys and girls that are going to these games just to flex our, you know, wallet because we can afford $2,000 tickets. This is a football town, baby. And we're football people. And we were built for the playoffs. Appreciate you guys. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. We'll talk again on Friday. Like I said, I'll get some tweets out there. Please interact with me. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know what you're feeling. In the meantime, it has been a great season. I hope you enjoyed every minute of this season. And I hope and I know and I believe with everything inside of me, you're super excited just as I am about this next weekend. We are on to Houston. We are on to Houston. This has been the Overreaction Sports Podcast. This is an Overreaction Sunday. I am, again, as I always tell you, your host, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter one last time at Joe Miller Wired. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We will talk to you on Friday. Until I see you then, go Bills.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.